Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Everybody, it's your boy Niner Faithful. I'm glad y'all tuned in today. Hope everyone had a blessed week. And as always, I got a great show planned for y'all today. I'm going to go ahead and break down Niner Redskins and then look ahead to like one of my favorite games on the schedule, Niners Cry Girls. You feel me? It's the rivalry. You know, I'm of the age and I don't remember it like some of y'all may remember it, but I remember it pretty well. I remember going to my grandpa's house, and it was always a big day when it was Niners Cry Girls. So we got that going on, and of course, we're going to take your phone calls and texts as well. The number to call in is 646-668-8467. That number again is 646-668-8467. And the number to text in is 408-755-0030. That number again, 408-755-0030. Also, if you'd like to advertise your business, your page, events, I mean, pretty much whatever you want, on Niner Faithful Radio, Radio AFS has advertising packages available for as little as $25. Go ahead and email me at ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com for more information. That email again is ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com. So, how y'all doing this week? Another tough loss. It's horrible. I mean, I don't know how to describe this. It was heartbreaking. It was just, man. If you liked Niner Faithful Radio on Twitter, I went ahead and tweeted out that link about the most bullshit offensive pass interference call that you could have possibly seen. Like, I didn't know it's offensive pass interference if the defender runs into you. I didn't know exactly what Pierre Garçon was supposed to do at that point. I mean, is he supposed to just not run his route because the defender is trying to block him? If you go to KMBR.com and go to the podcast, Tim Ryan, who does the color commentary for the Niners on the Niners radio station, the flagship station. He basically broke down the play, and I mean he called it, you know, bogus, but he basically broke down the play and said that he pretty much didn't know what Garçon was supposed to do as well. That the defender had pretty much, I don't want to say this, the defender screwed up. He wasn't quite on his assignment, and that's why he was late to cover Carlos Hyde, and that's why Pierre Garçon ran into him. So, it was another disappointing loss. I mean, it's almost like, you know what? Can you really get mad at these at this point? I mean, you know, each loss gets us better draft position. After the Giants won yesterday, us in Cleveland are now the only teams in the NFL. So in theory, now I don't know who would hold the tiebreaker, and it's way too early in the season to get on who would hold the tiebreaker for draft position. But basically, we're the number one or number two pick. And so I understand it would suck to get, you know, even worse pick than last year. But that's as it stands right now. We would pick number one or number two. I don't know. I think it gets into strength of schedule and all that type of weird stuff and common opponents and all sorts of weird stuff that, you know, it's just too early in the season to start worried about that. But, you know, I mean, for all we know, we could go on a little win streak. And, you know, our position in the draft would, I'm assuming, greatly change. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you're of the belief that the Niners should, I don't want to tank because it's hard to tank in football. But if it's hard to tank in football, but if you are of the mind that the Niners should be playing for draft position, this is the type of game you want. You know, we were close. It was competitive. It was entertaining throughout the whole game. And lo and behold, you know, we still lost. So you're probably happy. But us who want the Niners to win in every game possible have been disappointed. We are the first team in NFL history to lose five games in a row by a combined total of 13 points. And the first in NFL history to lose five games in a row by 3 points or less. So that's pretty crazy, bruh. Think about it. We literally, that means that now, of course, a field goal wouldn't necessarily win all these games because Dota game, for example, even though, you know, we lost only by 3 points, that's just because they scored a touchdown and an extra point. Didn't do the extra point. So that we were either going to win that game by three, tie it, or lose by three. There was no, you know, oh, we would have had one more possession. We could have kicked a field goal and won it or tied it. But
okay.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. We went ahead and fixed the problem. So I don't even remember where I was. With my notes. By the way, don't get Metro PCS as your cell phone carrier, bro. People there are retarded. So as everybody knows, CJ Beathard went in, and CJ Beathard went in yesterday in about 6:39 left in the second quarter. And Hoyer ended up finishing his day 4 of 11 for 34 yards, a 45.3 quarterback rating. He had one drop, and he didn't have a drop, but they dropped one pass at least, and 18 snaps. He wasn't getting the offense going. We were down 17-0. It was just all bad. Very, very, very bad. So they went ahead and put Beathard in. Now my phone doesn't want to charge. Okay, there it goes. And Shanahan, after the game, went ahead and named Beathard the starter for the rest of the season. Of course, you know, barring injury or anything crazy happens. But I know I wrote down CJ Beathard's statistics. Oh, yeah, okay, so he was 19 of 36 for 245 yards, a touchdown, a pick. He played 52 snaps, 54 of the 72 snaps, and he was sacked twice. So it wasn't the world's greatest game, but the offense did seem to look better with him. I mean, they outscored Washington 24-9 in the time that Beathard was in. So, you know, we went ahead and got back in the game. Almost reminds me of that game against Houston when Al Smith came in for, I want to say it was Sean Hill that he came in for in the second half, and we were down 21-0, and we ended up losing the game 21-24. But it's a hell of a game. It was great. So that's what yesterday's game reminded me of. Now, go back. I'm sorry. That difficulty with the Blog Talk and Metro. And, no, man, it was horrible. Threw me off. This show's ratings are going to suck. Oh, anyway. So, I went through and I looked at the last play where the ball was picked on fourth down. Me and my guest producer, who doesn't want to be named, both saw what we think. We couldn't see the number, but it looked like 15. So we're thinking Pierre Garçon was wide open on that play. So, Beathard missed that one. I'm pretty sure there's probably a few other passes that he missed, but he plays with a lot more points. I mean, he might hold on to the ball a little too long. You're not going to blame him. You're not going to knock him and say that he doesn't allow the routes to develop. Or, are you serious? We're going to go ahead and take one more break, and I'm going to figure this stuff out, and we're going to go ahead and this is very irritating. Where are the rest of it? So we're going to play one of my favorite songs real quick. We'll go ahead and take a break. You're listening to 9FM for Radio. Radio AFA.
This is home. Up on reserves in the very top. Sidelines to the lower block. See ya. My tailgaters in the main lot. On a plus of six and it don't stop. Go. Now once that fog rolls in and you feel them strong winds, man, welcome to the stick. Where the fans go hard until the end through a loss or a win. Yeah, brother, that's the stick. 70,000 faithful got it rocking. With Owens White connected on that sprint right option. Head to toe, red and gold. You see, I'm not a pride. When John Taylor took that punt return for 95, we went crazy. Dominated the 80s. See, I was just a baby. But Pops would always take me to the stick to see the greats. Dean, Haley, and Craig. Ronnie, Brian, and Brent. Candlestick represent. All the memories make my head spin. When Michael Carter picked six on the Redskins. And Steve took that victory lap after he just sent the Cowgirls crying back to Texas. We know it's old, we know it's cold. But this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah, this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know what's up. My season ticket holder standing proud, and back surgery just couldn't keep my tanner down. Chill, see I was caught up in the moment when I heard Joe Starkey yelling. Watching Young get away from the Vikings, the comebacks on the Saints and the Giants. Hitting Pittsburgh right in the mouth on Monday night, the lights went out. Divisional round with Green Bay when Cap took off on them all. That pack of linebackers still looking for the ball.
You see, we all witnessed greatness when Jerry broke the touchdown record on the Raiders. When Hurst turned it up and got ghost. And Alex hit Vernon on the post. It might be old, it might be cold, but I left my heart here, cause this is home. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know it's up. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know it's up. This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. This is home, this is home. Candlestick Park, this is home. This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, all my diehards know it's up. This is home.
All right, we're back on the air. So we went ahead and sorted everything out. Oh, man, this has been a crazy day. But we're going to go ahead and bring on a caller who was awesome enough to go ahead and call on the show. This is our first time on the show. So we're going to go ahead and bring it in. What's up? How you doing? You're on the air now.
Hello?
Yes, yes, yes. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Okay. So I have to ask, obviously, me being from the Bay Area, I noticed that you didn't call in from a Bay Area area code, so that obviously means that you're not from, I'm assuming you're not from California, and I hear a little bit of an accent, so I'm pretty good with accents, so I'm going to guess you're from New York.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding!
Okay. That's what's awesome. Well, we have only one rule. Two rules here on Niner Faithful Radio. You have to be a Niner fan, A, and B, you have to tell us your story. I'm so interested. What makes a woman from New York a Niners fan in the middle of Jets and Giants territory?
Repeat that question again. You want to know what made me fight or what I thought about the game?
Like, what made you a Niners fan? Like, when did you become a Niners fan? Was it a particular game? Did you have a member of your family that was a Niners fan?
Oh, no, I mean, I don't really know too much about football. I just pretty much know a little bit about the Giants, the Jets, you know, just the regular. You know, I watched a couple of the games. I was really rooting for the Giants, but they didn't win.
Okay. So you were when I went ahead and talked to you in the green room, you said that you had watched a little bit of the game. So what did you think about the little bit that you saw?
Oh, well, the Jets made a touchdown, so I know that's a good thing. So I was like, all right, they're in the lead. They're doing good.
Yeah, unfortunately, didn't end up holding it off. But all right, well, we want to thank you for your call and everything, and feel free to call in any time.
All right, thanks.
Okay, that was weird. I have no idea what happened. For some reason, when I hung up on the guest, they hung up on me as well. Walk, talk. Man, y'all need to step your game up. But Okay. As you can see, we don't necessarily can't screen all of them. But that was a great job screening the call, Mary. Sorry. Nameless guest producer. All right. So I believe the touchdown she was talking about was Aldrick Robinson's 45-yard touchdown, pretty much right as the two-minute warning hit. I believe he officially scored it. There was a minute 59 left. So it was right around that. So the defense did really well against the run. They only gave up 56 yards to running backs. And Kirk Cousins was the leading rusher when he had four carries for 26 yards and a 7-yard touchdown. So he had an additional three carries for 21 yards. So he threw for 330 and two touchdowns. So I don't know. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback, and clearly he beat us. I did not look at Kirk Cousins yesterday and said, yeah, I believe that man should be the highest player in the NFL. And I understand a lot of this is, you know, he won't be the longest player in the NFL for long. But I just didn't hear that, you know, and Larry Kruger brought up an interesting point in the pregame that I was bringing up to somebody as well. And that was that if you say that we're beyond this year, so you say we got 2000, so let's just say we're competitive in 2019 or 18. Let's just say, or sorry, 18, 20, 2020. That's, you know, two more years after this year. So when Kirk Cousins signs his contract, he'll be 30. So in two more years, he'll be 32, almost 33 years old. And that's just us starting to compete and, you know, make the playoffs and whatnot. So he could very well be 33, 34 years old before we have a really legitimate shot of making it to the Super Bowl. And so is he going to be worth all this money to get him for maybe 1 to 2 years? Of where he's a top-flight quarterback, and, you know, we're a top-flight team, versus drafting somebody in those same 3 years or just now getting in the prime of their career. And what you also got to look is that, you know, sometimes it can get you into trouble, you know, because you can't re-sign everybody. But if we draft a quarterback and develop, the whole roster will start to grow up and mature all at one time. You won't have a situation where, you know, some players are maturing faster than others. I mean, in theory. And I'm not saying that eventually, you know, we're going to be all 2-3 year players and rookies. But I think we're slowly starting to see who's not going to be here next year. I mean, like, for example, Marquise Goodwin. Man, I wanted him to ball out so bad. I thought he was going to be a great weapon for the Niners. I mean, that catch he had with Beathard where he reached up and the ball that really should have been picked. But, you know, he went out and, man, that must have been 14 feet in the air. And snagged. But, I mean, he played 61 snaps and only had two catches for 26 yards and one carry for 6 yards. That's not number two receiver production. I mean, he played all those snaps. I mean, what? We threw the ball. I'm adding it up right here. 11 plus 36 is 47 times. So out of 61, what's 61 minus 47? That'd be 14. 61 minus 47. It's about 14. So 14. Now, he obviously wasn't and, you know, every one of his snaps was a pass play, or there might have been some times he passed the ball, the team passed the ball, but he wasn't in there. But still, just all that, those reps and only two catches, I mean, that seems – DeArcosan only really started to come on in late. For most of the game, they actually shut him down pretty solidly. So that was semi-disappointing with the team without Josh Norman, that we couldn't – Pierre Garçon couldn't make a little bit more productive. Not that I'm saying he won't be on the team. You know, I still think going into next year, he might very well be our number one receiver, which is a problem for to discuss on a different day. Eric Armstead, same thing. He only played 22 snaps yesterday, so they cut back on his snaps. But very little production. But what's up with Jimmy Ward? Big shout out to Jimmy Ward. A pick that got called back on a review, and a fumble recovery that was called a touchdown, but upon further review was decided that he stepped out on the 1.5 yard line, and Carlos Hyde just scored on the next play. But I think Jimmy Ward, you know, he's been hurt, and you can't say that, you know, rely on him to be fully healthy. But you know what? I wouldn't be so fully surprised if our starting secondary next year is Jimmy Ward at free safety and Jaquaski Tart at strong safety. And I'm not saying that's the best safety combination in league history, but I like that. That gives us, you know, some good players. I think Jimmy Ward's a good player. I think that, you know, a lot of his injuries, our career, it's just been injuries, bro, which is sad. You know, I always feel bad when a player gets hurt, because it's like, man, you know, it's not their fault all the time that they get hurt. And, you know, it almost seems like unfair. Like Navarre Bowman, man, you know how tragic that is? He was on the pace to be one of the greatest linebackers ever. And he has those injuries derail his career. Which, by the way, the rumor out here is the rumor out here in the Bay is that he signed a 1-year contract with the Raiders. I don't think the Niners probably aren't going to make an announcement on their website. They might, but I haven't heard anything confirmed. But I've seen it from multiple reliable sources. So Navarro Bowman joins the likes of Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, didn't Roger Craig play for the Raiders for a little bit? Bill Romanowski, I know there's more. Carlos Rogers, Terrell Brown, who else has played for the Niners and the Raiders? Jeremy Newberry, Jeff Garcia never played for the Raiders.
Ronnie Lott was with the Raiders when they were in L.A.
Yeah, we still play for the Raiders. I already said Ronnie Lott. I know there's more. There's actually been quite a few players that have played for both. Now, Michael Crabtree, obviously, how could we not forget that one? Now, I wonder how many of those players went directly from the Niners to the Raiders. I know Crabtree did. All the Niners that you pretty much see, all the former Niners that you see on the Raiders right now went directly from the Niners to the Raiders. Alden Smith, which I don't even think he's played this year yet. I believe that he ended up getting suspended and pretty much his career is done. That's really sad, because he was a great player. can put the bottle down, huh?
Me or somebody else?
Alan Smith. I know, right? Carlos Hyde, I was disappointed that now there was rumors he was going to be traded, then there was rumors that he wasn't going to be traded, then there was rumors they were going to sign him to a contract, then there was rumors he was going to be traded, and now there's rumors saying that they're talking long-term contract extension with him. I'm disappointed in Hyde. I really am. I don't feel he's a great running back. I don't even feel he's – I think he's a great disappointment. I really do. I think the Niners made a mistake letting Frank Gore go. They should have kept Frank Gore. There's nothing that Carlos Hyde has produced minus, you know, opening weeks except this year. There's nothing that he's really done that I've just been like, oh, my God, he's the next great thing. Very inconsistent. I mean, 14 runs. 13 runs for 28 yards. That's almost two. That's a little over 2 yards a pop. 5 catches for 47 yards. You know, so he's being used. He played
56 snaps?
Yeah, 56 snaps out of 72 snaps. So, I don't know. It wasn't a very productive day for him. Now, mind you, most of the game we were down 17, you know, plus points. Well, not plus, but, you know. So some of that game had to be dictated by the fact that we were down by so many points. But it seems like every week they use that excuse. So, Vernon had 3 catches for 65 yards. Ray Armstrong, bro. You know what? I'm going to come out and say it. I'm not necessarily mad that the Niners cut Bo. I understand why they did it and all that type of stuff. But, you know, I think what I heard is that the reason that Reuben Foster didn't play was that he had a setback at practice on Thursday. So my thing is that if they knew he had a setback on Thursday, why do you cut Navarro Bowman on Friday? You know, yes, because Brock Coyle, I know I have his stats written down here somewhere. Yeah, his 6 tackles were just really amazing. And, you know, that Tim Ryan called him out a couple times on the broadcast, talking about he was playing rough. He played all 100 snaps, though. I'll give him that. The only linebacker they took off the field, as far as, you know, whether it was Will or Mike linebacker, was Ray Armstrong. Lee played 4 snaps, played 21 on special teams, so he was mostly a special teamer. And then I'm not even going to attempt to say this dude, N-Z-E-O-C-H-A, I don't even know how to say that name, he played 2 snaps and 18 on special teams. So that was how the first game without Navarro Bowman since 2010, because he didn't play his rookie year, Tekeel Spikes was our starting linebacker. That's how the linebackers were. I mean, that was much to be desired. Pass rush, man, only DeForest Buckner besides Solomon Thomas got a quarterback hit. Think about that, just a quarterback hit. Now, I didn't see anything that said pressures or anything like that, but that's not good enough. I mean, we only sacked Cousins 1 time yesterday. Now, I heard that, you know, Washington has a good offensive line, so that probably had a lot to do with it. But still, I mean, Kirk Cousins had all day to throw.
So that was very disappointing. Aaron Lynch is done. Aaron Lynch is not going to be on the Niners next year. Aaron Lynch is done. I hate to say it because he looked like he had all the potential in the world, but yeah, no. And you know what? I hate to say this, and I'm not guaranteed this because I believe next year, he still has one more year after this year on his contract, but I don't think Eric Armstead's going to be on the team's long-term future. I don't see it. You know, I don't see what they see. Now, mind you, they're way more football savvy than me, and he could be, he does, I'll give him credit, he does do other things besides sack the quarterback, but he doesn't even really do that. So, I mean, he's got to have come on strong the rest of the year for me to even think he's going to make the team next year. I mean, they might keep him next year, just let him finish out his contract type of thing. And, you know, you don't want to necessarily – you want to give a first-round pick as much opportunity as possible. You know, you don't want to kiss him goodbye because, you know, I think that's what you're starting to see with our defense surprising people. Because I think you're starting to see that, like, hey, don't get it twisted, bro. There were some high draft picks on this defense. Like, Jimmy Ward was a first-round pick. Jaquaski Tartt was a second-round pick. Eric Reed, who, by the way, played 10 snaps yesterday. So he returned from an injury. Reed Foster didn't. Eric Reed's another person. As much as I love E. Reed, and I think he's a great leader, and he was playing very well, I think Jaquaski Tartt has just proved that he can do what Eric Reed does. And he can go in that little sub-package dime linebacker that they that a lot of teams are playing now. So, a lot of football left. There's still over a majority of the year. I mean, there's still 10 games left. That's a lot of football, 10 weeks. And we're not even into November. We're not even halfway through October. Well, yeah, okay, we're technically, I guess, at noon yesterday, we're halfway through October. Because 15.5 plus 15.5 is 31. So yesterday at noon, we were technically halfway through October. Wow, I can't believe it. Halfway through October already. I can't believe we're already 6 games into the season. Seems like yesterday I was getting ready to go to the Panthers game. Or even the Broncos game. Holy, man, time. But we got about 4 minutes left. So we're going to go. But Solomon Thomas, real quick. Solomon Thomas had his best day yesterday. He had 9 tackles, 7 solo, and a sack, and 2 tackles for loss, and a quarterback hit. He balled out yesterday, so he didn't have like a, you know, 4-sack game or whatever that a lot of people are going to quote unquote want from their 3rd-round pick, but he played well enough to, I think, that you could say he had his best game and that you've seen the type of player that he can be. Although, you know what, Eric Armstead had a nice 9-yard tackle for a loss yesterday, so maybe I shouldn't be so quick to say he's off the team. But they still got out of that drive. I couldn't believe that, bro. They had, like, 3rd-and-20 and still got a 1st-down. That's just, man, after blitzing, I'd be curious to see after the first drive how much Sala blitzed. Because he blitzed a lot during that first drive, and he got burned. So it seemed like he might have called off the dogs after that because, you know, we weren't getting home or the back end wasn't holding up. And, you know, what's up with these blown coverages we're having? For we heard all offseason that how it was a simple defense and, you know, there wasn't a lot of calls. Players could use their athletic ability, and there seems to be a lot of blown coverages. So for a defense that prides itself on not being too complicated, I don't understand how there could be so many blown coverages. I'd like to thank everybody that called in, the one person that called in today, I should say. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you listening to the show. I hope you're still listening. And before we get out of here, I would like to remind everybody, we're going to go ahead and end this before, you know, something else happens. But before we get out of here, I'd like to remind everybody, hold on, I got to get the script. Before we get out of here, I'd like to remind everybody to check out my Keys to Victory Niners Cry Girls coming out Friday or Saturday on Sports League. We'll get it on Friday. I usually write it on Thursday, and it becomes live on Friday. The website's in the show description. Please like Niner Faithful on Facebook. Just search Niner Faithful Radio. Also follow us on Twitter at Niner Faithful R. Again, if you would like to advertise your business on Niner Faithful Radio, Radio AFS has packages available for you. Just go ahead and email me at ninerfaithfulradio@gmail.com, and I'll go ahead and shake those to you. Everybody for listening. See y'all next week. Peace, love, and happiness. Go Niners, Alvin. My dear, dear man. Go ahead and...